Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Holy Spirit, you're our God and our comforter. And we thank you, Father, for what you are teaching us, how to be led by your Spirit, Lord Jesus. And we just praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for the revelations you're giving us tonight. And by these revelations, Lord, we'll learn more and more about how to walk in the Spirit at all times. And Lord, I love you. And I know the people in the fellowship love you. And we want to be as close to you as we can get. And we know we can jump right up in your lap. And Father, you just love it. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you anoint us tonight, all of us, to hear and to say only the things that you've given us, Father. And I thank you for being our God. I praise you for being our provider. I thank you, Lord, for being our healer. I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon all of us. And I thank you, Lord, that when we pray, that you listen and you answer our prayers. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, okay. Man, it's been a wild couple of days, more or less. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests? Well, y'all believe with me, I've already prayed the prayer of faith for Marlene's mother. She's having some troubles doing things, so y'all just believe with me too. Lord, I just thank you for healing Marlene's mother. I thank you, Lord, for healing her mind, healing her body, and Lord, and healing every organ in her body. And Father, we thank you that she is of sound mind, and she is also of sound body. And we just praise you for the mighty miracle that you're doing in her life. And we thank you, Lord, for placing Marlene in the rest to know that you're in charge, and that all she has to do is just rely on you. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for giving her more patience dealing with her mother. And we just praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in her and her mother. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for answering the prayers for Marlene and her mother. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Well, okay. Anybody else?
Amen.
Well, what about a testimony or a praise report or prayer or whatever?
I have a testimony.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, we're praying for my daughter who's dealing with the preeclampsia, our daughter. And she went home today, and but she still, I guess I could have shared this for prayer. She still needs prayer for her blood pressure, but it came down good enough that they let her go home because they said that when the blood pressure gets more regulated, then her edema will go away. She was very, very miserable and uncomfortable with this edema, and she was under very much of an emotional attack. She was calling it hormonal, but I knew it was just the enemy because she was just miserable. And today she was much better when I saw her, and she was released today. So, and I just praise God for that. And then now my husband has something a testimony to give too.
I was in the driveway when she came home, and she was sitting in the car, and she was still pretty, had tears in her eyes, and I could tell she was really down, and I was giving their son a ride. I was in another car, and I was giving their son a ride back, going in to pick up their son, from school, and I was praying on the way in. I just was, you know, pretty bound to that spirit and everything. I just felt it was a spiritual attack as well. And I just really bound that. And as I was praying, I just really almost felt like sense it just broke. You know, the thing just broke. And then as I was driving in further on down the road, that she did call to remind me to pick up something for her from the pharmacy. But her whole voice was different. She was just had a peaceful countenance and a little bit more normal, I guess. But I kind of sensed, I could tell when it broke. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. We praise you, Father, for that little family there, Lord, and that all is well. And we thank you, Father, for putting Hadasha in rest, Father, in the rest that you're in charge, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I share another one?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I had a hip replacement about 3 years ago. And my other hip has been, for a while now, has been bobbing me and getting slowly worse. And I've been standing and really praying. And I've prayed and believing in faith. I know I was healed. And I just want to say that since we've been listening to the things and David's teachings and just listen to the Lord, and I just understand that, what that really means, and so really trying to stand on that and thanking God for the healing. But anyway, the hip that I had the surgery, the replacement in, has been starting to bother me too for a little while, and I've been kind of like always favoring it and being careful, and I don't try not to jog anywhere. Like sometimes you want to pick up and walk really, really fast. I got to be careful because it hurts. And so I was on the treadmill today at the Anytime Fitness, and I was just doing my walking away on the treadmill, and I just really, it was the Lord who told me pick up and jog. And I know that it didn't come from me, and I heard it again. I just stood there and thought a second, and I heard it again. You can jog. And so I thought, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jog. Because I believe you've healed me. So I started jogging. I started jogging lightly on the treadmill. And when I got off and started leaving the place and walked out to my car, I wasn't feeling anything. Usually when I do that, if I get in a hurry and do just a little bit of running, I feel it. And I did not feel anything when I was doing that jogging and after I did the jogging. So I just believe that God is, I know he's healed me already. So I think that was just a real confirmation of my faith for in believing him for this healing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. You're so good to us. Praise, Father. Praise you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll give a praise report.
Okay, Kurt.
Well, I think I've given God the glory a few times, but when you don't feel pain where you had felt pain, and I sort of agree with the lady that just got through giving her testimony, you hear other people's testimony and you think, wow, man, I need to thank the Lord for my healing too. So today I've been able to walk around on my left foot and not feel the excruciating pain of the heel, like I'd stepped on a stone or something. And the same with my elbow on the right side. I just give God the glory for that. It's wonderful to be in a place out of pain.
Amen. Yes, it is. Praise you, Father, for Kurt's healing. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
I have one, Michael.
All right, Jackie, go ahead.
Yesterday I was doing some chores and stuff, and I started feeling really sick, real weak and exhausted and real faint, and I was trying to finish up quickly, and it was trash night here, so I was just emptying out my fridge, and when I stood up, I cracked the back of my head really hard on the refrigerator door, and I felt really sick, like real nauseous, and I rebuked it, and it hurt really bad, and I finished up what I needed to do and showered and then came to bed, and I couldn't even eat. I felt real sick to my stomach and stuff, and I just laid here, and I was praying, and then I was crying some because it hurt, and then I was starting to feel some self-pity that I was rebuking, and then I listened to the study, and it blessed me, and when I woke up this morning, I had a pounding headache like I did last night, and I wavered a little bit this morning, and a sister texted me, and she and I fellowshipped for a while, and actually the Father woke me up praying for all of you on the conference call, and I was praying individually for everybody, and she was one that I had mentioned, and we hadn't spoke for a while, and fellowship really blessed me, and I asked her to agree, you know, because I had texted a sister last night, and she and I agreed in prayer that my head was healed and the infirmity would go, and I was getting worse, and I was having all these, like, neurological symptoms where I was feeling real dizzy and faint, and so this afternoon, I kind of thought if I got something to eat, I would feel better, so I thought, well, Lord, I've got to drive to get somewhere, so I just took it in faith, and I prayed, and it was hard, because it was hard to focus, and I just felt really out of it, and my head was pounding, so I didn't have far to go. I only made two stops, and first stop right in front of me, the Lord put a car, and the license plate said, Jesus, and I was like, oh, praise you, Lord. I was like, you know, because my prayer was, Father, you know, I was like, lead me by your Spirit, you know, bless me going, and I pray protection over myself, and I said, Lord, you're my husband. You have to lead me there. I can't get there by myself, and the word Jesus on a license plate was right in front of me, and I thought, oh, Lord, that's really awesome. You are leading, and I'm following. So as long as I stayed focused with my eyes on you, and I was following you and your lead, you would protect me. And we got out and got some food and came home, and I ate, and I felt a lot better. So I just praise God for that. And I'm just waiting for the pain to still go away, and I'm feeling better. Physically, I don't feel as spacey or out of it as I did when I cracked my head, but boy, it really hurt. I just praise Amen. God that it's coming along.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, that her headaches are gone in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Jackie's going to have a good night's sleep tonight without any pain, and she's going to wake up refreshed with supernatural energy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
I love those awesome signs he gives us like that.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, isn't it?
Amen. And you know, it's just meant just for you. I mean, he blesses all of us, but like exactly when you need it, you know, and you're really struggling and like, boom, it's like right in front of you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, talking about the signs, somebody sent me, I think it's Leon, sent me a link to a site that had charted the election on Tuesday night. And of course, as you know, Hillary Clinton had opened up ahead, and they were real confident that they were going to win, you know, and all of this, and Trump was way down there. But apparently, a lot of Christians had gotten together over the whole United States and had started praying. I think, I forget the name of the Christian network that put it out to start praying for Trump. And you could just see when they started praying, the Clinton's on the chart. Clinton was up at the top at 80%. Trump was down at the bottom. And he started rising drastically, and she started dropping drastically. And then, of course, you know the outcome. And it ended up just the opposite of what the chart started out. And it's just amazing what they showed as far as the prayers of the saints across the nation had done. Of course, we know that we've prayed the prayer of faith for him over the last few weeks, and we know that we knew, of course, that God was going to put Trump in there. But it was just awesome to watch when the people started praying that night, and watching what happened during the night, according to the chart. Now, I don't know how true it is, but it sure sounds good. We give God the glory for putting him in there, because that was a miracle. That was an out-and-out miracle, because they tried everything they could to keep him out of there, but God, you know, but God. Praise the Lord. But all right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Go ahead, Steve.
When Trump came out to, I guess, make his acceptance speech, it was 1:44 in the morning, I believe.
You know, David told me that. I think it was InfoWars, which is a central time zone, which is an hour earlier than the East Coast time where Trump was. But that's what he saw too. He saw, you know, he started that at 1:44. Of course, that was Texas time. And that's awesome. That is so awesome. Praise God. Some say, you know, that he might be a type and a shadow of Cyrus.
Michael, I was really blessed by that whole election night, because as I was watching different clips, I was praising God, because I was like, wow, Lord, this is exactly what was prophesied. This is exactly what David spoke and preached on. This is exactly, I mean, like the signs just fell into order, like one after another. I was just amazed. I was just in awe. I was like, nothing is too impossible for you. So I had to praise God.
Amen. You know, about that election night, I looked at it one time before I went to bed, and Clinton was ahead. And it looked like that she might be taking the whole thing. Of course, that's what it looked like. But, you know, I had a rest in my heart. I said, I know what God said, and I know that she's not going to win, because he said she will not be president. In Ken Dewey's prophecy, that Hillary would not be president and that Trump would be. And so I had a peace in my heart to know. And then, of course, the next morning I woke up and he had won. It's awesome. It's awesome to watch God work. We're going to see him work here in the next couple of months, too. We're going to see God work in the next couple of months. Hopefully to get people's hearts and minds on Jesus. Amen. All right, anybody else got a testimony or praise report or would like to pray about something? How we can hear the Spirit more clearly in prayer and in our daily walk. Well, you know, if you want to shorten that up a little bit, how can we be led by the Spirit of God? It would have been a good way to have put that. How can we be led by the Spirit of God? How do we know we're being led by the Spirit of God? All right. If we don't have any more testimonies, and if you do, you know, just go ahead and interrupt at any time, or prayer requests. You know, y'all, I think y'all already know that you can do that. Did anybody get a word on this? How we can hear the Spirit more clearly.
I got John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So I think that shows that, you know, what God is speaking is going to be what the Holy Spirit is going to be directing us toward, or using through us, but Jesus spoke. He directs, teach us all things. So he teaches us all things. I'm not sure how that fits together, but that's the verse I had.
Okay, Wade, what was that verse again? I'm sorry. John 14:26. Okay. John 14:26. But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit.
Hello?
Yeah, hang on. I had a little hiccup there. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you.
The Father.
Yep. All right. I have to apologize here. I'm having a little trouble here. All right. But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit. So who is it that leads us? Who is it that guides us? Who is it that does what we are asking for? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Holy Spirit, yeah.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit guides us. And how does he guide us? Well, hopefully it'll all come out here in a little bit. I could go ahead and say, and y'all probably already know, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, that's the one who guides us. He'll send it. He'll send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And he's going to teach us things, and he's going to bring to our remembrance all that I said unto you. In other words, he's going to lead us as well. And we know that we can be led by the Spirit at all times in things that we need to know, and be led by the Spirit from the Holy Spirit. So let's that's good, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, because he's the one that does it all for us. We praise you, Father, that he is doing that in each one of us. He's the Comforter, he is the teacher, and he's the guide. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else get a word?
Michael, I got Romans 5:5.
Romans 5:5.
Yep, double grace.
All right.
And if it's okay, I want to start with Romans 5:1.
Okay.
Thank you. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given unto us. For while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. And I thought that was a pretty cool verse, because I felt like the Lord was confirming that he's given us the Spirit. And if we stand, even in the tribulations, and remain steadfast on his word, the Spirit is the one that will lead us through and comfort us and guide us. And like he did with me today, you know, I walked out my faith and even driving when I didn't feel right in my head. And then he even confirmed it, you know, with Christ right in front of me. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you know, and I believe that also puts us in what it is. How can we discern the Holy Spirit in our walk, in our daily walk, and that's by abiding in the Word, right? Abiding in the Word every day, putting the Word in us, and that strengthens our and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, and allowing the Holy Spirit to think that these verses that come up that we want to meditate on, allowing the Holy Spirit to show us the things about this thing and getting it into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. And I believe that's all part of it, is abiding in the Word, abiding in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else get anything else out of all of those scriptures?
It's the law of liberty.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hearing the Word, remembering the Word, and doing the Word. Well, that's in James. I can't remember the exact place. It's just in James, somewhere in James, that it talks about the law of liberty. And I got Exodus 22:14, and it says, "And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good." And 15 is part of 14. "But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hired." So I really had to look at what the Lord wanted to speak to me here, in reference to how can we hear the Spirit more clearly in prayer and in our daily walk. So I looked at the words where it says "not with it," meaning that if you're not sure that this is from the Lord, he shall surely make it good. So you know, you're definitely, when you're thinking about something as to whether this is from the Lord or not, you come up with that question: Lord, is this really you? And of course, it says here, "Not with it, he shall surely make it good," because you ask, and God will make it sure. And if it be with it, then you're not really gonna ask, like it says in the 15th verse. When I was thinking on this, I said, in my mind, I was thinking about Abraham when he had to sacrifice Isaac. And I said, well, where is that, you know? Because, you know, that's a pretty difficult response to respond to. How wouldn't Abraham question that, you know? So when I found out it was also in the preceding book from Exodus, in 22, the same chapter, and also on the 14th verse, it says there, after Abraham performed all this, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And that's the portion I circled there. And of course, the next five verses after that is a blessing for Abraham and his seed, and really nice stuff there for the future seed, you know. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I just think that in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So that's 22:14 of Genesis. Whereas I got 22:14 of Exodus, which is a completely different verse. So the only thing I saw in there was not with it and be with it. So the Lord is either way going to look after you. So that he would be there to clearly guide you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Well, in verse 18, it kind of tells you why the Lord did it. He said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Obedience is better than sacrifice, I believe the word says. And when we obey what the Lord says and tells us, as we walk in our daily walks, then blessings are going to come. In verse 17, he said that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Praise God. That's good stuff.
I just found it interesting that the Lord just popped that into my mind after I got my... And it was the same chapter. And it really, right on the same verse, because in thy mount the Lord shall be seen. So, well, to see what he... to have the eyes to see what he wants you to do, you know, in your personal life. And if the Lord would will to bless a person to show something seen for the corporate body or a group of individuals, that would be very blessed to be used that way.
Amen. Would you say the Lord led you to this this chapter and this verse?
Well, I pointed my finger down on Exodus 22:14 and 15 as part of 14, and so after I sort of used the term "not with it" and "with it" as being led. These are personal actions that it's kind of a law thing, but what stood out to me in the verses that I got when I put my finger down was the Lord is always with you, but in the context of this verse, of whether you're hearing clearly from the Spirit, he's going to make it good. You know, in Exodus 22:14, and then after I was thinking on these verses that the Lord does speak to you or inform of you things, he gave me a thought about Abraham and how he had to sacrifice Isaac, or was asked to, and that would be a hard thing to receive, you know. It would make you wonder if he ever questioned that, but when I looked it up, like I just flipped my book to the next book, Genesis, and then it just came bang down on 22, and I went, yeah. And then I noticed later, I went, hey, this is the same chapter as the first one that he showed me. And then I just found that right at the 14th verse that's what I got, and then I read, of course, the next five verses after that. So that was
awesome. Yeah, sounds like you were led by the Holy Spirit to go there, and bring this out, this part out here too. Praise God. Okay. Does anybody see anything else in there? All right. Anybody else get a word?
I got one, Michael.
Okay. Let's hear it, Lakeisha.
I got Matthew chapter 14, verse 15.
Matthew 14 and 15?
Yes.
Okay.
It says, "And when even was come, the disciples came to him, saying, The place is desert, and the time is already past. send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said unto them, they have no need to go away. Give ye them to eat. And I compared that to John chapter 6 and verse 5. Can I read that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
That says, Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a great multitude cometh unto him, saith unto Philip, whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, I don't really know how this explains the Spirit, you know, being led by the Spirit, or but I was hoping we could kind of figure that out, because I don't get it.
Which one?
Well, the first verse, Matthew 14, 15.
Okay. Let's look at it again. 14 and, let's see, 14 and 15. And when even was come, the disciples came to him, saying, the place is desert, and the time is already past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said unto them, they have no need to go away. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And they all ate and were filled. And they took up that which remained over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. What did Jesus always say to the people when he would, when they'd ask him, you know, where do you get all of this stuff at, you know? He'd always tell them, he said, I say nothing but what my Father in heaven tells me. And so he was led by the Spirit at all times. He knew that the things that he was doing, he was led by the Spirit. And he's teaching us how he did that. What did he do? He prayed a lot. He knew the Word. He studied the Word his whole life. I'm sure Joseph taught him a lot of the Word, you know. And Jesus always said that he didn't do anything without the Father's, you know. And of course, the Holy Spirit was teaching him. When he got baptized, you remember what happened when he got baptized? The Holy Spirit came upon him after he was baptized. Then he went into the wilderness. But he was led by the Spirit the whole way. And I believe that's a wonderful thing that he's teaching us here. He was led by the Spirit. How many of you would have thought to take the bread and the 2 fishes and ask the Lord to multiply them, you know, and feed all that bunch of folks out there? Well, it had to have been the Holy Spirit. That wasn't his flesh telling him to do that. That was the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, I can see where that we, you know, we have to be led by the Spirit to do these things. And then there was, what was that other one? It was John.
Chapter 6, verse 5.
Chapter 6 and verse
4. 5.
Oh, 5, okay. And Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a great multitude cometh unto him, saith unto Philip, when shall we buy? Uh-oh, here we go again, right? Okay, well, same thing. All right. 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. So, it's the same thing. He's being led by the Spirit there. And I just believe that the Lord is teaching us to always, when these circumstances come up, to be sensitive to what the Spirit tells us. Now, having said that, does anybody else see anything else in there in these passages that Lakeisha has given us about how we can hear the Spirit more clearly in prayer and in our daily walk. If you remember, Jesus was praying. He prayed a lot. It seemed like every time he turned around, he was out there praying. You know, he'd leave them early in the morning, go out and pray in the desert. He'd pray here, he'd pray there. And he was constantly speaking and communicating with the Lord. And because he did that, he was being led. He knew the Lord's voice. And that's where we need to get to that point. It's where we understand the Lord's voice in our inner spirit. That's where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us, is in our spirit, you know. And it's those pullings in our spirit that we know that it is the Lord. I know possibly most of you, if not all of you, have had those times when you knew it was the Lord telling you to do something. And we have to be sensitive and always alert to know. I know that at times we get a word from the Lord, from the Word of God, and that's okay. And we also cast lots, and that's okay. But there comes a time when you're going to just, God wants us to listen to Him at all times. Be aware of His presence in us. And we do that by getting the Word in us. We do that by praying. We do that by fasting. But most of all, we do that by knowing when it's God and knowing when it's the enemy or our flesh talking to us. Okay.
Michael?
Yes.
I see something in Lakeisha's verse, in the Matthew verse, when she read 16. Like in 15, the disciples are saying, asking Jesus to send them away, to send the crowds away. But Jesus, like, came right back and said there's no need for them to go away, like, to give them bread. So to me, it seems like he was saying not to send them away, for them to stay there and be fed, because, like, the Spirit was leading him to feed them the Word.
Amen.
The Word. So, like, we should never, like, send people away. We should receive them and stay there and feed them with whatever the Spirit leads us to feed them with. That's kind of how I see that verse.
Amen. And he was probably teaching the whole way, right? Could have been. Well, that's a spiritual, you hit on something there, Jackie. They have no need to go away. Give ye them to eat. In other words, disciples, go out there and minister to them. You know, you could put it that way.
Amen.
All right. The five loaves and the two fishes. Anybody got anything there? What does two represent? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking about the dream years ago, or a while ago anyway, of this lady who came out her back door and was getting some chicken to get some scraps, bring some scraps out for the chickens. And there's a huge crowd of people out there. She opened up her screen door, and she was, of course, wasn't expecting people. Big crowd of people, and she recognized some folks from the media. Just everybody just kind of on, just waiting for their scraps. So that kind of reminded me of that situation where the Lord said, you provide for him. That's your job. That's what he was telling the disciples.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. I remember years ago, I can't remember what it was, what the circumstances were, but I remember this old couple that lived out in the country, and these two men came in, and they didn't have a whole lot. They didn't have much at all, as a matter of fact. And they welcomed them in and fed them what they had. And, of course, that kind of took them out. And as the men were leaving, they had told them, said, get your gun and sit out here by the door. And said, when we leave, you're going to have, I forget what he told them. But anyway, when they started down the road and they left that couple, a flock of geese flew real low. And that man was able to get him some geese. Had more than when those gentlemen came. He had more after they left. So God can do anything. All right, anybody else? See anything in here?
Michael, have you ever heard that barley represents the first fruits, since it's like the first grain that's picked in the spring season?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first fruits.
Amen.
Well, they all ate and were filled, too. They had overflowing abundance, didn't they?
Amen. So does that mean that the disciples were the first fruits?
Well, they were the first fruits of Jesus, weren't they?
Yeah, amen. I never realized that before, the way you just said that.
Yeah. Well, this is really a very deep parable here of the five loaves and the two fishes, because you can take each verse by itself and you know you can the Lord will show you a lot of stuff. Looks like 20. They all ate and were filled. They ate and partook of Jesus and they were filled. And as a matter of fact, they were overflowing because they had the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And 12, of course, represents. Amen. Anybody see anything else there?
I kind of see it, the more you take in of the Spirit and His Word, the more you'll give out. Like in the other experience he had with feeding the feeding how many? 4,000? And they had...
seven baskets?
Yeah, the more you... Yeah, right. The more you give of Jesus and less of yourself, the more you can give out. Where the other one, there was more of themselves they gave out, and so was less left over. Or was it right? There's less left over, right?
Yeah, yeah. There was 12 baskets here. And then there were seven baskets at the other time. But they had a little more too, didn't they? They had a little more food. So the less means more for God, right?
Right.
When we're at our weakest, He's at His strongest. Praise God. Thank you, Father. The main thing is to be ever, what's the word? Just always be sensitive to listen to the Holy Spirit when decisions are being made. Okay, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Joe?
I got Psalm 109, verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I see that as a you have to get self out of the way and just listen to the Lord.
Okay. Did you say Psalms 9, Joe?
109.
Oh, 109. Okay. 109, 32?
22.
22. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. 109, 22. Okay, for I'm poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Okay, well, let's see what we can get out of here. What'd you see in there, Joe?
I think it's you have to be poor and you have to be needy. You have to take self out of the way. You have to depend on the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's good. That's right. You have to be completely fleshless. And the Lord will talk with you. Yeah, this psalm is down in 26. He says, "Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy loving kindness, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, they shall be put to shame. But thy servant shall rejoice." Excuse me. "Let mine adversaries be clothed with dishonor, and let them cover themselves with their own shame, as with a robe. And I will give great thanks unto the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he will stand at the right hand of the needy to save him from them that judge his soul." You know, that's another thing about hearing clearly from the Lord. He loves our praises, and he loves us to praise him and glorify him at all times. And if you do that continually, if you do that often, I believe you'll open up an avenue of communication with him like you've never had before. He loves our praises, and he loves for us to seek him, you know, in those quiet times and listen for him. And, "Lord, I need an answer for why this is happening or what this is. But, you know, Father, if I never get an answer for you, I'm going to praise you because you're God. You're the God of all creation. You're the God with the holy name. You're the God that has brought me in. You're the God that can save us. You're the God that can send us away, Lord. And we just praise you. We know, Father, that you create good and you create evil." You know, and just go through the thing. And you do that, you get the feeling in your heart, you know, a love for God like you've never had before. And you'll start listening to God, and he'll love. I can see him up on his throne right now, you know, smiling because of his people that glorify him and thank him for the things that he's done for them, and thank him for the things he's going to do for them. And he really loves our praises. And he loves to communicate with his people too. He really does. He wants us to be listening for his still small voice that comes in upon us. He's not a loud God. If you get a loud answer to something, look out, you know. It's always seems to me to be a still small voice. Now, it doesn't mean to say that he can't come in loud. He can come in there in a vision. He can come see you in person, you know. But for the most part, it's always, it seems to me that most of the time it's that still small voice that leads us in the right direction. Gives us the answers. You know, just like Andrew was talking about a while ago, when I read the Word and I get something and I'm looking up something or thinking about a particular topic, then I know that God's, you know, going to give me what I need, and he does. And just things pop in your head at times. And you just, things happen. I don't know how to explain it any other than that. It's God communicating. Amen. Anybody else had that type of experiences where God just puts things in your mind? That's another way of being led by the Spirit. He does that. All right. Anybody else?
This is Dan. I know a lot in my life experience is the Lord is leading me, and often I don't even know it, or I don't seem to get a quickening, or, you know, a still small voice or a sense, but yet I'm trusting that he will lead me. And I remember years ago there was an old German lady in our fellowship, and she had a 21-year-old, I think he was maybe older than that, a mentally retarded son, and she got some papers from the government, and something to do about renewing something for her son because he was retarded. And she didn't know what to do. And she prayed and she asked the Lord, Lord, please send Denny over. You know, I don't even know why she picked me because I didn't, wasn't really that close to her, but we're just one of the brothers in the fellowship. And so that morning, we're heading out to work, and I told my brother, hey, let's stop over at Elizabeth's once. And I had no clue what, you know, what was going on. Tell you what, we knocked at the door, and when she opened the door, her mouth just dropped open. Danny, I asked the Lord to send you here this morning to help me read these papers so I can understand them. And I had no clue or, you know, whatsoever that I was being led by the Spirit. You know, but I was, you know, I was being led by the Spirit. So I think we got to trust them at all times. It's like, Lord, I just trust you that because I'm a believer, because I'm a Christian, you're going to lead me by your Spirit, you know, throughout today. And, you know, it just often like that. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Wonderful test. Yeah.
Do you mind if I share kind of what I went through election night?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
It's not real necessarily, I don't know, rather than categorize it, maybe just talking. As I'm sure most everybody has done, is I followed pretty closely the WikiLeaks releases and the and also the set of four, maybe five videos that came out. The undercover work that those guys did looked to be extremely dangerous because they were talking to the top, you know, the top people who were making, you know, the calls and directing, you know, and helping people to, you know, the protesters, sending the protesters out, telling them where to go, and making sure that, you know, with the protesters that got involved in violent situations, that they wouldn't be liable for their medical bills or jail, you know, legal anything about their jail time or anything. But to watch all this stuff, and it was just absolutely nauseating for me, because I, you know, a lot of us have never lived in that world. And I grew up overseas in a country that was, you know, India, Nepal, those countries over there are just, the corruption is just kind of accepted, or not accepted necessarily, but just so prevalent. And so I always, you know, being an American in that situation, I think, wow, it's so, you know, this country is just the pits compared to America, compared, we don't have corruption like that and all that kind of thing. So, but to read this, I'm talking as I felt as a little kid, you know, as I was growing up, I started realizing there's more involved there. But with this, all these revelations, and of course we've been praying for these revelations to happen, you know, but here they come, and probably maybe it'd been better not to look at the revelations because they're so sick. But so anyway, with all that kind of in the back of my head, I was kind of, unlike you, Michael, I stayed up and watched all this stuff. And especially that one page you were talking about that was showing in real time the New York Times or New York something, their projections based on all kinds of factors. So, and I was just, you know, I knew the Lord, of course we've had so many dreams and visions along this line about Trump, but it was just fascinating. And of course, another thing in the back of my head was the election fraud is so pervasive. It's like they can, you know, like Stalin, I think it was Stalin that said that you can, doesn't really matter who votes. What matters is those that count the vote. And I thought, exactly, in this situation, except the Lord's here. You know, except the Lord is involved in this process. So they can do their miscounting all they want, but, you know, if the Lord's involved. So anyway, of course, praying the whole time and just, but when of course Hillary refused to come out and acknowledge the people, and so they sent out John Podesta, which is very, you know, sad for the Clinton supporters. But and then Trump got up and did his speech, and I just was thinking this could be very monumental, you know, if it's true that he is the modern day Cyrus, and you know, a very worldly, not Christian person at this point, but from then listening to David speak, you know, talking last night, I just got to thinking, this is totally awesome. I mean, to have somebody in there who is actually not anti, I mean, certainly not openly anti-God, just a, you know, just a secular kind of person, and yet for somebody to not be against God and following him is an incredible difference in government. I'm trying to think of the last time that was actually, I mean, not somebody who didn't quietly try to subvert what God is doing. Last night after I finished listening to David, I was just praising God, and I would have jumped around except I didn't want to wake the family up. So anyway, doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. I think it might be very hard, but the Lord's in charge, and it's just to me it was just an indication the Lord has his hand in things. And has done something that hasn't been done for a very long time. So,
well, not only do we have a Republican president, we have a Republican Congress, both sides.
Right, but what they're finding out with these 650 emails is that a very large percentage of both Republican and Democrat in Congress were involved in this child sex ring.
Yep.
And if they were to take out, if the FBI or the New York Police Department were to go after all the people that have been identified as being involved in this child sex ring, what the New York people, I understand, were so, they don't know what to do, because if they were to pursue this, the entire federal government would collapse, because they'd be taking out just about, not everybody, but such a high percentage. So, and that's why I'm wondering if they're like the brother Ken, whoever it was that had that major vision or word from the Lord.
Ken Dewey.
Yeah. If the Lord does do the earthquake thing and selectively target, you know, the bad folks, he's already done the revealing, and there's probably quite a bit more revealing to do, I mean, to get it out so the public knows. But it's like now the Lord has made it clear that this problem is there, and if and when he does go ahead and do this massive earthquake thing, then the people will know, well, this is amazing. Look at the people who were missing. You know what I mean? Look at the people whose bodies we found. It seems to match this list. So anyway, I've also, just to add something, I've been praying for our current president and Bill and Hillary and the other folks, because none of us would have any chance with the Lord if he didn't, you know, provide the situation for us to be even be interested in him. He's the one that creates that interest. And it's only the Lord's grace, and, you know, we can look at Saul, who turned to Paul. Of course, he was in the original Israel, but he was still on the wrong track and very adamant about his, you know, very bigoted attitude there toward the followers of the way. But the Lord can take anybody So I've just been praying that the Lord spare these people's have mercy as far as their salvation goes. You know, they may have to go be taken out quickly, but just to have mercy on them and grant some repentance for these people.
Yeah.
Michael, do you mind muting me?
Okay, yeah, so, I'll go
thank
ahead.
You.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's all, God is doing this thing, and he's going to do it the way he wants to, because he's going to get the glory. It's not going to be man that gets the glory. Even Trump's not going to get the glory. It's going to be God. I mean, it was a mighty miracle that God came through for his people that have been praying for relief from these people, from the people on the left there. And he came through, and praise God. And I think that he's going to do even more during the days ahead. Y'all know as well as I do, as David talked about last night, that God's got to get the church's attention. I don't know how he's going to do it. I'm not even sure that ISIS or these Black Lives Matter or anything like that, if Obama turns those loose, if people would turn to God, because they'll see that it was the left that did it. But if it's like an earthquake or a tsunami or some natural disaster or an asteroid hitting the Atlantic out there and causing tsunami and then causing an earthquake, I can see, you know, people turning to God, because they'll know that that came from God. You know, most of them will. And they'll be running to God at that time. I think revival will start then. But, you know, we may have a hard 2 months here. Don't know, but we'll see. Hard for one may not be hard for another. If you're being led by the Spirit, you don't have anything to worry about. If you're counted righteous in God's eyes, God's going to hold you. He's going to protect you. So we don't have to worry. I was thinking today as I went on my walk, I try to walk 2 or 3 times a week, and I've got a trail that I go on our mountain here, and it's a beautiful walk, and I love to walk that walk, and it's about 3 miles. One walk is about 3 miles, and the other one's about 2 miles, so I can take a short walk or a long walk, you know. Anyway, I was thinking today as I was going along there, you know, what would happen if, you know, we were confronted with somebody with a gun that wanted to do harm to you or your family, you know. And the Lord brought it back to my memory of many times before, of what he showed me, that if you have the faith to believe, you can tell that guy, look, I have to warn you, if you pull that trigger, you're a dead man, because I have the power of God behind me, and you don't. And if you pull that trigger, that bullet's going to hit you. It ain't going to hit me. I'm not going to have to, you know. And take that attitude, and you have that faith to believe that, and you tell them that, God's going to back you up. And that's what came to me today as I was walking, and I said, oh, that's awesome. And I've said that many times in the past, that God would do that, because he showed me that in a dream. I thought it's either a dream or a vision, I don't remember, years ago, that's what happened. Somebody pointed a handgun at me, and it was in a car. He was in the front seat and I was in the back, and he pulled a gun on me and was going to shoot me. And I warned him right there. I said, you pull that trigger, you're going to die, boy. You know, because we are God's children, and he's going to take care of us. And I said, I just have to warn you. And the guy put the gun down, you know. Another instance in a dream, he shot at me, and the gun hit him. So, you know, it's where your faith is. If you believe that, that's what will happen. That's what will happen. God will make it happen. Amen.
Amen.
Or he'll protect you. You know, they can shoot all they want to, and they, none of the bullets will hit you. But I like to warn them. That way, you know, they might turn to Jesus. You never know. Or the people with him might. You never know. All right, go ahead. I heard somebody fixing to say something.
That was might have been me. But I was just reminded of something that happened years ago. I had a friend, and she's a real petite gal. She was like 4'8", and she was walking downtown, and this guy came, and she was at a bus stop, and this guy came, and he was huge. And he came at her with eyes, and she knew that this was not a good situation. She was by herself, and all she said was, "In the name of Jesus, go." And he left. That was it.
Well, there you go. She knew she had the power of God with her, didn't she?
Yeah.
Amen.
So,
you know, you've heard stories of missionaries over in Africa and Eurasia and South America, where, you know, one in particular, I forget who it was, might have been in China, when a bunch of men were going to kill one of these brothers out in the jungle. And maybe some of y'all can help me remember this. It seems as though they came out there and they were going to do him harm, and all they saw was a bunch of big men around him, and they didn't attack him. And then years later, they found out, this guy found out what had happened, and the guy told him, he said, "We came out there to do you harm, kill you, actually, and we saw all those big men with you." He said, "I didn't have anybody with me." They said, "Well, you had these big men with you." And it was, of course, the angels that were surrounding him. Anybody ever hear that?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But God's going to protect his people. He's going to, if you have the faith, you know, he's going to protect you. Praise God. Anybody else want to? Yeah.
Sorry, I wanted to just ask you, you know, Vanessa had that word on Monday, 5 days.
Yep.
Doesn't sound specific as to what that pertains to, but is your, even David and the other folks' take on that this Friday or Saturday, is that we might see a whole lot more violence? Of course, the rioting and whatnot seems to just be ramping up more and more.
Well, I think that, I think it's going to be in the nation, possibly across the world. He said he's going to pull his grace in 5 days, and that's the morning of the 12th. It's the last day. And, you don't hear much happening right now, but you may start seeing things ramp up. And it could be, you know, 5 days of grace for people to repent and also to, you know, be able to be protected by God if you repent in these next day or two, whatever it is. You know, what's today? The day is 10th. You got tomorrow, and then Saturday morning is when God said his grace is going to lift. It doesn't sound good as far as the world's concerned. So, you know, things might start popping pretty good. I don't see Vanessa on here. She's not on here tonight.
You might mute me again, though. Sorry.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that. Can I press star to mute myself?
Yeah. You. What is it?
Well, to get out, it's star, but I don't know how to get into it, how to get muted.
I don't know how to. I can only mute you. I can mute you here, and then you can come out of it with star. I don't mind doing it.
Okay.
Well, all right. Anybody else got something they'd like to speak about? Let me see here what I had. Well, I had John 21, And I'm trying to figure out which verse I had. Oh, yeah. It's verse 5, I believe, where my finger was, but I'm going to start in verse 4. Just as day was breaking, John chapter 21. Where's my deal? John chapter 21, verse 4. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore saith unto them, Children, have you aught to eat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits off, dragging the net full of fishes. So when they got out upon the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now taken. And Simon therefore went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. There's that 153. And for all there were so many, the net was not rent. And of course, Jesus fed them. And it says that it was the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was risen. They had broken their fast. The disciples broke their fast. And here's where my finger was. I'm sorry. Now that I read it, this is it right here. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than thee? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Tend my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Well, of course, Jesus was resurrected at that time. And you know what's fascinating about these verses here, 14 through, I believe it was 17, is that you remember how many times that Peter denied him. He denied him three times. And Jesus asked him three times, did he love him, you know? And he told him each time, he told him to do something different. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. All three times. Now, what that has to do with walking in the Spirit, how can we hear the Spirit more clearly? I think the Lord was telling him, you know, feed his sheep. Well, feeding the sheep, he's part of the sheep fold, so he's wanting to get him in the Word. Learn more about the Word, learn more about him. Of course, he was with him all that time and wanting him to teach him. I guess, I don't know. You know, this is a lot of stuff here. Anybody see anything there?
Michael, if we walked on the beach and Jesus made us breakfast.
Amen. Amen.
The fire and the coals already.
Well, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
That's an awesome vision.
Amen. Yeah. He already had the fish up there. He didn't have to. He said, see, they were bringing the fish in. Jesus was sitting up there, already had the fish on the fire. So I don't know where he got them. You know, the Lord's provided those, I suspect. They see the fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. He had bread and fish. Probably had some eggs and bacon and what have you around there. A little bit of gravy. But anyway, praise God. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about how we can be led by the Spirit. So what do we get all of these verses? How can we be led by the Spirit? What's the first thing? When you hear the Lord, what do you hear? How do y'all hear the Lord?
Michael?
Yes.
I was just thinking that a lot of times when I'm like debating about, you know, something's of the Lord or not, if I immediately even have like a hint of hesitation, you know, because I think like it might be wrong, like even though in the world it might not seem wrong or anything, then I like think, well, maybe this isn't the Lord. And then, you know, I double check the scripture to see how it, you know, lines up, you know, or if it doesn't line up, because I also don't want to be hindered from doing the Lord's work through fear of something too. So if there's any hesitation, you know, I just seek the Lord and just see if it lines up with His word.
Amen. That's why it's imperative that we get this word in us, you know. And every time you do that, you'll get more and more in you. That's awesome. Yeah, we need to go to the word if we get that inclination. That still small voice that tells us, well, go ahead and do this, you know, or do that, or whatever. You know, I knew in 2011, in February, I knew that the Lord had wanted me to come to Tennessee then. And, of course, it was late September before I finally came out here. But I knew that the Lord had told me that I was coming out here. And I knew that it was going to be sometime in September. I didn't know, you know, what day or what hour, but I knew it was going to be in September. And then he told me it was going to be within 3 days, when in all actuality, it was the same day that he told me to come out here that I came out here. I was loading my truck, and the Lord told me, said, get in the truck and leave. That's what he told me. That's what I heard. I knew that it was the Holy Spirit. And so I just got in the truck and left right then. Now, I had all my clothes and stuff like that, but I didn't have everything that I wanted to bring. But that's what the Lord told me, and so that's what I did. That was a clear leading of the Holy Spirit. And then once I got here, we started learning real quick through the Spirit and through David's teachings, of course. But David's been led by the Spirit to teach the things that he's taught, you know. Been led by the Spirit, you know, many, many times since then, because we started learning, you know, we got to do what the Lord says. Because if you don't, you know, this... there are consequences to things when you disobey the Lord. And, you know, we learn. We go around the mountain 4 or 5 times, you know, and until we finally get it right. And we understand, oh, okay, that's the Lord, you know. And we get it right, and we go ahead and do what He tells us to. We repent. And then the next time we hear it, we'll know it's the Lord, you know, to do whatever it is that He wants you to do. And it's a process. It's a process of listening to the Lord and reading the Word and studying and meditating on the Word to be able to clearly discern the Lord's voice, and He wants us to be able to do that at a quick moment at times. So, yeah. Anybody else got any experiences, you know, you'd like to relate to help us out here, encourage us?
You don't mind really old experiences from many, many years ago?
No, that'd be great.
I have one from a long time ago when I was in my late 20s, but I was single with two children. I think that's why I experienced things then, because God is, you know, the Lord was just always with me and being my husband and taking care of me. But I was at work one day. I worked at a factory. And my kids have been getting sick quite often. There was chicken pox and other things, and I was having to miss work a lot, and they weren't liking it. And one day I was at where I was working in a factory, and Lord had him in my thoughts, and I just told him, I said, just thank you for this job. I thank you for this paycheck that I have, God. And he spoke right back to me and said, and when I said, I trust you, I just trust you for this paycheck and job that I always have. And he said, can you trust me without your paycheck? And I remember thinking about it a second, because I thought, I knew I was getting a couple of checks for my kids, because my first two children's real father passed away was in the Army. And so they were getting checks. And so I wasn't thinking of that at the moment. But anyway, but my check I was making right then, I said, right back to Laura, I said, yes, I can. I can trust you without my check. And I knew that, I just knew in my spirit, like He was letting me know in one moment that I was to quit my job and be with my children. And then I realized that, well, I do have something coming in. So I can trust God without this check. I'm still trusting Him with these other checks. But He really didn't bring that up, you know. But He was letting me know that what you have, you can get by if you trust me. So I knew I was to quit my job, and so I did. And I was trusting Him in faith and lived that way. And He was really good and did astounding things. Few testimonies, I don't want to take up all the time, but the first one happened when my daughter, about 8 years old, 7 years old, she wanted to make chicken that night for supper. And she said, I want to make chicken tonight, Mom. Can we get chicken? And I told her, well, yeah, you can do that. You can help me do chicken, but we'll have to pray for the chicken first, because I don't have a chicken and I can't go shopping. So we got on the kitchen floor there together and prayed for God to provide a chicken. And you know, within that next hour, my best friend who worked right next door where I live was a grocery store. I mean, the parking lot was adjacent to the sidewalk that ran alongside my apartment building or house. And she came up and she said, hey, there's a sale today. I have a chicken for you. And she holds up this chicken. So,
praise God.
So it was just a confirmation to me. And so, yeah, He does those things. He's so good. And there was another instance, I walked around the block with my son, and he needed a new coat. I stopped him on the sidewalk and said, that's pretty nice for a nice warm coat, and we did. And when I got around to the front of the house, ready to go in the house, someone pulled up and said, called my name, and she had a parka, a big, nice, thick, warm parka for my son. So I was just so amazed at having him doing those things. So he was a good provider. He always will be.
Amen. God is so good. I bet that really boosted your daughter's faith, didn't it?
Yes, it did, yeah. You know, He provided.
Praise God. All right, anybody else?
I got a word.
All right, let's hear it.
I mean, scripture. I missed most of the conference call because we were out, but I did get a couple scriptures. And I got, first one I got was Zechariah 10, 11, and 12. And I'm not sure how this ties in with how we hear the Spirit more clearly. But the scripture reads, "And he will pass through the sea of affliction and will smite the waves in the sea, and all the depths of the Nile shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart." In verse 12, "And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." I mean, I get from that that we would have victory over the curse and over our enemies, but I don't know how that ties in with how we can hear the Spirit more clearly. Do you have any?
Yeah. Well, let's just see. He said, I'm going to start at 10. "I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he will pass through the sea of affliction and will smite the waves in the sea, and all the depths of the Nile shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." Well, looks like the Lord's going to take care of his folks, don't he?
Amen.
And let's see here. Well, it's, "They shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." You know, when you pray, and I meant to mention this the other night, we pray in the name of Jesus, but we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And when you pray in the name of Jesus to the Father, that's the correct way to pray. And you're going to see many things happen because of that. Just like when Debbie was praying with her daughter about the chicken, God answered their prayer real quick. I've been many, many prayers that I can remember that have been answered because of my repentance of doing whatever, you know, after I repented of doing things that I didn't really know that I was doing wrong until the Lord showed me in the Word. And then once I found it out, I repented of it. But then I would pray certain things, and God would answer my prayers just almost immediately. And then he'd show me something else by the Spirit. He would show me something else that was needed to be taken care of in my life. And then I'd repent of that because I didn't know, you know, just like we are. It's a progressive type salvation, as David has taught us out in that book, salvation, instant and progressive, that it is it's a work that God does in us, and it's nothing that he does immediately or instantaneously other than the Spirit of Jesus hits us at salvation, and then it's up to us and the Lord and us to allow the Lord to get that soul worked out too, you know, our mind or will and emotions in line with the Word of God. And that's a ongoing thing there. And hopefully we all can go into that 100% of getting our soul and our spirit lined up with the Word of God. And so that our body can go up as well, which that's the 100% right there. It's when our body, soul, and spirit all are in full alignment with the Word of God. I don't know why I brought that out, but I did. And I guess the Lord wanted it out. I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. So we have to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those that are led by the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. And that's why we always want to be listening to the Holy Spirit and be one of those sons of God or daughters of God.
What was that scripture reference you were reading from?
Zechariah 10, 11 and 12. Well, Michael read verse 10 to 12.
Okay, thank you.
I also have another scripture. It's in Galatians 2, 18 and 21.
Do that again, Barbara. What was it, Galatians?
Galatians 2. Well, my finger landed on 18, but I just went on and read all the way down.
Okay.
Let me read it from verse 18.
Yes, ma'am.
For if I build up again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died unto the law, that I might live unto God. And then I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And verse 21, I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught. Is that true? But what I get from that is we can hear the Spirit more clearly when we continue to reckon ourselves dead to our flesh and also dead to the works of the law. You know, we walk in the Spirit by exercising our faith in all the promises.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Scripture. I remember when I was back in the churches, I used to go to a Wesleyan Methodist church, and they were legalistic. But I remember, and I was very young, you know, in the faith, and I didn't know really anything. I was in, I guess, confusion myself. But I remember telling them, they believe that you got to quit whatever it is. You know, you're sanctified once and for all. You know, they misconstrued John Wesley because the church was a Wesleyan Methodist, and they misconstrued John Wesley. Anyways, I remember telling them all the time, like, well, if I could do it myself, then why did Christ have to die? And I remember a couple light bulbs went on in a couple of their heads, you know, about, well, yeah, I guess that does make sense. Because, you know, if I could do it, if I could change, well, why did Christ have to die? He didn't have to die. You know, I couldn't do it. And this was before I came into the knowledge of the truth, you know, about faith, real faith and everything. But I remember thinking that always made sense to me. And I used to always cry out to the Lord, even way back then, before, like I said, before I even had any knowledge of what faith was. But I used to cry out to the Lord, you know, I say, Lord, bend my will. You know, I mean, I was like honest within myself, saying, well, I can't do this. I want to do it, but I can't do it. And I just would cry out to him to, you know, please bend my will, Lord. And that was my cry for the longest time back when I was in confusion. And, you know, and I kept always seeking truth. And, well, you know, of course, he brought me into truth. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that scripture, that was before I even knew that scripture was in there. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes, amen.
Amen. For I, through the law, died unto the law, that I might live unto God. That's right. And just like he's talking about, verse 21, I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness through the law, then Christ died for naught. Can't do nothing yourself. It's got to be from God. That's the great thing about this Christian walk. We there are certain commands that he's given us, but he's always given us the wherewithal to do whatever it is he's commanded us to do. And he's got a lot of grace, and he's got a lot of mercy, given us a lot of that. And as long as we're going forward, as long as we're still in the race, you know, he's going to back up his word for us. It's, you know, it's a lot of, all of the time, I'm going to say this, all of the time, when you stop and you get stagnated in your walk with the Lord, where you're not seeing anything, you're just stagnant, and you don't understand why you're stagnant, let me tell you what the reason is. Most of the time, it's because you're not in the Word of God. You're not renewing your mind with the Word of God. So if you feel yourself getting stagnant, you know, get into that Word even more. Or even ask, you know, like David has often said in his studies, you know, if you feel like you're getting kind of stale or something like that, ask the Lord to ramp it up in you, and he'll do it. Because he said to ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. That's all we have to do, is just do those things that he's asked us to do. Anybody else?
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
My brother just texted my brother Randy and asked if we could pray for him. My brother, as you know, Michael, some people may know, is going through marital problems. His wife had an affair on him, and my brother is saved, and my sister-in-law is not yet saved, and they have two sons, and it's been pretty bitter, and my brother's trying so hard to hold it together, and he just texted and said, I don't know why the Lord brought me down here. They moved to Florida about 7 years ago. He said, I know it wasn't to get here and be cheated on and left alone, and he's asking what the reason is, and he's been seeking the Lord for guidance and wisdom, and his faith has really been shaken, and has wavered a lot, and I'm trying to encourage him the best I can, and I'm trying to speak the word into him without leading him or teaching him, and he just texted and said, what if he forgot about me? And I'm like, brother, that's impossible. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, I just lift up Randy and I ask for your grace and your mercy upon him, Lord. You promised not to give us more than we can bear. And, Lord, my brother's at a breaking point. You promised in your word that when we're our weakest, that you'll be our strength, and I just ask, Lord, that you show forth your strength and your power. Have it manifest in my brother. Draw him more to you, Lord. Give him more faith. Put a hunger and draw him back to your word, Lord. Grant him repentance for not being able to read it much now. And thank you for the gift that you gave him when he does open it and read it. But he's full of peace, and he feels closer to you, and his day goes better. And Father, I just continue to pray as I've been led by David and Michael's prayers for the government. I've been praying for my brother's marriage, that the evil is exposed and the wicked comes out. And Lord, it seems like you're just bringing everything out, and it's really hurting my brother. My sister-in-law's words are so mean to my brother. She's saying she doesn't love him, and just a lot of things with another man, a seed that she's received from another man. And Lord, the other night I prayed, if you could do this miracle in the government, which was a massive, major miracle, Father, that you can surely take care of my brother's marriage. So I'm just trusting you in that, and standing in faith for my brother Randy, Lord, and I just pray protection over both boys. Protect their eyes and their ears, Lord, from what they see and hear. Grant my sister-in-law repentance, Lord, and salvation, and deliverance.
Amen.
Pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray a little bit of scriptural prayer here, right quick. Lord, I just pray for Randy, and I pray, Lord, that the Father of glory may give unto Randy a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to him who believes, according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Father, I thank you that you're going to send the Lord of the harvest. You're going to send people of the harvest around to his wife. I don't know what her name is, but you do. That she will be able to listen to, Father. You said that's the way you want us to pray for the lost ones, Lord, is to send the lords of the harvest around to them that they would listen to. And Father, I ask that you put a person in front of her that would put the fear of God in her because of she knows that they're telling the truth. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to see a mighty miracle here very quickly. And Father, I thank you for all you're doing in Randy and his wife and their children, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Michael. Amen.
I believe that.
I believe it, too.
Awesome. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request before we close tonight? Well, Lord, we just thank you for all you're doing in us. You're teaching us, Lord. I don't know why things are happening like they are. I know you've got it in control. You've got control of it, Lord, and I thank you for it. I ask, Father, that you put it in each one of us to draw closer to you, and put a hunger in us for more of the Word, and Lord, teach us how to listen and discern between the enemy and you, Lord, in our daily walk, Lord, and in our prayer time. Father, I thank you for that. I remember, Lord, when the first time I heard your voice, it just almost scared me. But it was not a scare so much as a love that flowed through me when I heard you. And I was waking up one morning, Lord, as you know, and putting on my blue jeans, and I was just saying, oh, Lord, I just love you. And then you came back in an audible voice and said, I love you too, Michael. And that was so awesome to me. Lord, you knew I was just a new believer at the time, and you encouraged me with that, and I've never forgotten it. And I asked, Lord, that if there be anybody here that's never experienced you, Lord, that you would show them you're interested in them, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Be with us. Protect us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. And this weekend, Lord, we ask for that you place it in their hearts to pray and to believe for your people throughout this world, Lord. Pray protection upon them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.